Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacles of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Graduation, was written by Jesse Sandler and is based on the article Children from Ethiopia by Malka Remist, which appeared in the Jewish Horizon, published by Hapoel HaMizrahi of America.
The Falashes, the Jews of Ethiopia, remained unknown to the rest of the Jewish community until the 18th century. Until then, they had been naively certain that they were the only Jews left in the world, and were pathetically overjoyed to learn that there were many others of different languages, colors, and cultures. When the State of Israel was established, it was decided to do something for these people, and a group of children were brought to the school at Kfar Batya, of which I am the head, to be trained as teachers, later to return and teach the others. And thus it was that a Falasha girl named Dina met an Israeli boy named David, and eventually his father came to my office, greatly upset.
Come in. Yonah, come in. I'm delighted to see you again, old friend.
Thank you.
You got my letter about David?
Yes.
Then you must be very proud. He's won the scholarship to the Hebrew University. The boy's going to go far, Yonah.
In which direction?
What do you mean?
He's not going to take the scholarship. He doesn't want to go to the university.
But why?
All of a sudden, there are other plans. It's this girl, Dina. He's completely lost his head about her.
Oh?
You knew about this?
Yes. They're in the graduation pageant together. It became apparent that something was happening.
But they're just children. David isn't even 17, and the girl...
About the same.
Professor Morgenstern, how could such a thing ever start?
It started, my friend, a long time ago, with Solomon and a certain Queen of Sheba.
What?
The present emperor of Ethiopia claims to be a direct descendant. Apparently, they're a Semitic race.
Professor, I didn't ask for a dissertation on the origins of the race. How did this thing between my boy and the girl start?
They met when she first came here.
And that was 4 years ago?
Yes.
Then when this started, David must have been 12, and the girl...
Likewise.
Morgenstern, what sort of school are you running?
They were children. And when they met, it was like children anywhere.
Don't you look where you're going.
I'm sorry.
Look what you've done to my books.
I'll help you pick them up.
Thanks. You're new here.
This is my first day. I'm looking for Professor Morgenstern.
He's over in the administration building.
What?
The administration building. Room 205.
Administration?
Don't you know anything?
If you only point out which building...
I'll take you there. I'm going there anyway. Besides, you might knock somebody else down. Knock right here.
Thank you.
That's all right. I have to come here anyhow.
Come in. Dina, come in, my child. Did you have any trouble finding your way here?
A boy directed me.
One of our students? Who?
He didn't tell me his name. A pale, handsome boy.
Oh? Well, tell me, how do you like your new quarters?
Oh, it's a palace.
It's just a dormitory.
The bed is so soft, and the fountain that comes from the wall.
The shower?
Is that what it's called? We never saw anything like it. I'm afraid that Malk and I will spend all our time dancing under it.
Oh, you'll get used to it.
I don't know. Back home, it's all so different.
I listened as this lovely child told me of her people, of the dark, gentle man, her father, a shepherd who lived as our forefathers did. A deeply religious man whose conception of Israel itself is hazy, for they imagine it to be as it was in the days of Solomon and David. And in their prayers, they mentioned the kingdom of Israel and its God-fearing king, may he live long. Most of them have never seen a white man, let alone an airplane or a bus, and so when he heard that a school had been started in Eritrea, he walked 100 miles to enroll his daughter and sold half his flock to keep her there. And when she was one of the 12 chosen to be sent to be educated in Israel, he was so proud he could not speak.
When we flew here, it was like the Bible says, "Ye shall return on the wings of an eagle." But I mustn't waste my time here. I mustn't fail my people.
It's open.
Professor Morgenstern, can the soccer team practice at 4 o'clock?
Yes, that will be all right.
Okay.
David, wait. I want you to meet one of the new children from Ethiopia. David Perlman, Dina Adassa.
We've already met.
Oh, then you must be the one... David. David, I would like you to make our new friends feel at home.
Can your boys play soccer?
I don't know what that is, but they're all very strong and quick.
Then I'll see if I can teach them. We could use a couple of good forwards.
There are 3 young ladies, too.
Ah, girls.
So you see, Yona, they didn't exactly start out as cooing doves. In the beginning, they were elaborately disinterested in each other.
But...
In fact, if David hadn't happened to drop back later to borrow the volume of the encyclopedia on Ethiopia, I might not have suspected his real feelings.
Oh.
But when one is 12, the code compels such fictions. David did become great friends with Yadi, Tedessa, and the Falasha boys.
What about Dina?
When she happened to be watching, he seemed to run faster, jump farther, score more goals at soccer. But she was a serious-minded girl, intent on her studies, dedicated to fulfilling her mission. And for almost 4 years, they scarcely said more than a word to each other.
Well, they're not exactly indifferent to each other now. When did this cooing business start?
4 years is a long time. And while Dina was busy filling her mind with knowledge, the rest of her was filling out, too. You've seen her, Yona.
I've seen her.
Like a queen. David, too, had matured. But at that age, the girls are still ahead of the boys, and he was still shy and awkward.
How did it start?
I'm afraid I'm sort of responsible for that.
You?
It came about as the result of the pageant. You see... The time was approaching for graduation. All right, boys and girls. Quiet, quiet, quiet. As you know, each year, as part of the graduation ceremony, the senior class puts on a play. I was wondering whether we couldn't possibly do something this year to honor our friends from Ethiopia, who have made such splendid progress among us.
Hear, hear!
Now, it would be appropriate if we could do something that would express our admiration and affection for them by showing the historical linkings between us. Are there any suggestions? Stanley?
How about the defeat of Mussolini by Haile Selassie?
Well, that could be a possibility. I suppose if we wanted to dramatize the overthrow of the totalitarian...
I'll play Mussolini. Viva Duce!
All right. Enough. Now, I was thinking of something that was more of a direct link.
Well, how about Solomon and Sheba? Dina could be the queen and David could be the king. Ow! Cut that out, David!
No, you cut it out.
You see, Professor, that's a love story. They don't like it.
I know. You prefer something with shooting. Besides, I wasn't thinking of that at all. Now, class, where's your imagination? Do I have to put the idea into your heads? Well, if that's the only way. Look, we could do a pageant that would show how the Falashas lived in their traditional ways all through the centuries. How they were finally discovered by the Jewish travelers. How the school was set up in Eritrea, and the best of you chosen to be trained. How you have learned from us, and we have learned from you. Now, how about it?
Who's going to write it?
All right, we're lacking a script. But the evidence of what you've learned here would be if one of you who have lived through this were to write it. Now, who will volunteer? Fidessa?
I couldn't, Professor.
Dina?
Oh, I'd like to, Professor.
Fine, then I'll leave everything to you.
But I couldn't. The examinations are coming up, and I'll be so busy.
All right, then, somebody else. Anybody. And so, in the end, we settled for the vision of Isaiah and his fulfillment in present-day Israel. David and Dina played a young couple who were living on one of the frontier settlements. There was a scene in which he embraces her and goes off to plow the fields with a rifle across his back. Suddenly, I realized that up there on that tiny stage, they weren't acting. In the play, they had found voice for what they had always felt. They were no longer children.
So you were responsible for that?
If you mean for the pageant which gave voice to what they have felt from the beginning, yes.
Would you like to know the rest of the mischief you stirred up?
There's more?
David brought the girl home for the holidays. The excuse was that they had to learn their lines. I liked the girl for her sweetness and good manners. But there was something about it that began to bother me. Even my wife noticed it.
Why are you so restless tonight?
I'm not.
And why do you keep prowling up and down like a tiger in a cage? Why are you so upset?
I'm not. Where's David?
Outside.
With that girl?
Yes.
What are they doing?
Rehearsing.
In the moonlight?
It helps.
I passed them yesterday. They were embracing.
It's part of the play.
I don't like it. When they're at school, they should keep their minds on serious things. I mean, they should be learning things which will be useful to them in later life.
And hugging a girl isn't?
Very funny.
Oh, what makes you such a pickle all of a sudden?
I'm not.
Yona, exactly what's eating you? That David brought the girl here?
He never brought one home before.
So there was bound to be a beginning. After all, he's almost 17.
You approve of this?
Who's asking me to approve? She's a nice, well-mannered girl. What I see, I like.
But suppose he gets serious about her?
Across that bridge when I come to it.
The trouble is, when you come to it, the bridge isn't always there. Right now, they're out in the moonlight whispering to each other. It's bound to lead to something. This doesn't bother you?
So I try not to think about it. By the time he's older and has brought more girls home, maybe I'll be used to it.
Suppose there are no others.
Why shouldn't there be?
Because David has an intense nature. Suppose this turns out to be the one.
Are you asking me how I would like Dina for a daughter-in-law?
All right, as long as you said it, I'm asking.
Yona, exactly what disturbs you? Her color?
No.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. I'm upset, and I can't put my finger on exactly why, and this is what bothers me.
Yona, do you remember why we came to Israel?
Of course.
From Germany? Driven out by stormtroopers who wanted to kill anybody who was the slightest bit different.
I know.
David's our only son. If it hadn't been for the troopers, there'd be another one.
Naomi.
Wouldn't I have been happy for that boy to have grown up and married someone as sweet as this girl?
Yes.
I've talked to her, Yona. She told me a wonderful thing about her country.
What?
They have no discrimination there. They never even heard of it. Are you going to teach it to her? In this house?
Haven't I been nice to her?
Smile on the face with resentment in the heart isn't nice, Yona.
And you approve of this?
I didn't say that.
But you just
I'm a mother with an only son. If my boy brought home a guaranteed, certified angel, don't you think I'd still have my doubts about her? And in this case, where there is so much difference, I can't help asking myself whether two people from such opposite worlds could be happy. Besides, they're just children. They shouldn't be rushing into anything.
Then you are worried.
I'm not, because nothing has been said.
Well, I'm going to have a talk with David.
Yona!
This has clarified my mind. Now I know what's bothering me. It isn't Dina. But David is just about to start at the university. After that, there'll be graduate school in a long time before he establishes himself. He shouldn't be getting serious about any girl.
Yona, don't mix in it.
Don't I know how to talk to my own son?
You want to see me, Father?
Yes. Sit down, David. I haven't seen much of you this vacation.
I'm sorry, Father. It's just that I've been so busy with the pageant.
I've noticed. However, that will soon be over, and you'll be graduating, so it's about time we had a little talk about what you want to be. You know, the men in your mother's family have all been doctors.
But I don't want to be.
You'll be disappointed. But there are other things, lots of honorable professions. By the way, your scholarship won't cover everything, but we have a little money saved.
I couldn't take it.
What else is it for? You won't be wasting it at the university.
I'm not going, Father. I meant to tell you. I was waiting until I was sure.
But this is what you've slaved for.
I know.
What will you do?
I want to go to one of the frontier settlements.
I see. Like you do in the play, huh? Is that where you got the idea?
In a way.
I'd forgotten how young you are.
I'm old enough to work when I can and to fight when I have to. And the country's in danger.
Of course it is. But suppose everyone were to rush off to the frontier. Where would the country be then? We've always had crises, but we've never permitted the lamp of learning to go out.
I'm sorry, Father, but my mind's made up. Dina and I have talked it over.
Dina?
She's going with me. We're going to be married.
So that's it. It's this girl that's turned you topsy-turvy. Because of her, you're willing to throw away all the hopes your mother and I have for you.
You're wrong about her.
We won't discuss her. You listen to me.
It's no use, Father.
David, you're going to listen to me. I talked and talked and talked. Logic, threats. His mother tried. Nothing was any use.
I'm sorry, Yona.
That's why I've come here.
What can I do?
There's one last chance. The girl. Maybe if I could talk to her.
I'll send for her. Come in.
You sent for me, Professor? Oh, Mr. Perlman.
I'll leave you alone.
You know why I've come, Dina?
Because of David?
His mother and I have always had plans for him to go to the university and have a career. Now, he wants to throw all that away and get married. We feel he's too young. Tell me, Dina, will your parents be happy?
No.
Why not?
Because if I go with David to live in a kibbutz, they won't see me anymore. I promised to come back and help my people. That was my mission. And now, oh, Mr. Perlman, I didn't want this to happen.
Then how did it?
Because of the play. He was holding me and saying those things, and suddenly we slipped past the make-believe into the real. And it was sweet to be loved by David.
Hmm. But you agreed to marry him.
That was in the moonlight at your house, and we were alone, and everything else was far away. But when I returned to school, I realized it was impossible.
Why?
Well, David loves me, but my people need me. My parents honored me by sending me here, and I can't, I mustn't fail them.
Have you told this to him?
No.
Why not?
I mean to, but when I'm with him, it's sweet, and I lose courage.
Oh.
My mind stops thinking, and I feel this is how it could be always if I could just blot out everything else.
But you must tell him.
How? How can I without hurting him?
Well, you know, that isn't possible.
I've thought perhaps there is a way.
How?
I have to return to my country. David knows this. He thinks it will be just for a visit.
Won't it be?
I could write him and invent a postponement. Each time it could be something else, and finally when I did tell him, he would almost expect it and the blow would be softened.
Dina, that isn't the way.
But what shall I tell him?
You'll find the words.
Dina, I've been looking for you everywhere. It's time for the rehearsal.
I forgot. I was reading this letter from my parents.
Oh, what do they say?
Oh, it's a very happy letter. They haven't seen me all these years, and now they rejoice that I'm coming back to them.
Oh.
My father asks how much I've grown.
Tell him you're like a tree, a lovely willow tree.
David. When he brought me to the school at Eritrea, I was barely up to his shoulder. I told you about that time.
Yes, I remember.
Oh, and we walked together such a long way, and I had him all to myself. My lovely father. I told you how he sold half his flock to keep me there. And when I was chosen to be sent here to Kfar Batya, he was so proud he couldn't even speak.
Yes, you told me.
I can't help wondering how I can break it to them that this will be just a visit I'll be coming home for.
Well, they'll understand.
Will they?
Mm-hmm.
They're simple people. They know nothing of modern inventions, but they do know the Bible. And it says, honor thy father and mother. What good is everything else I've learned here if I forget that?
You haven't changed your mind.
Don't you have any doubts, David? When you see the others getting ready for the university, don't you ask yourself whether your father isn't right? All he wants is what's best for you.
What are you trying to say?
What is right for me and what is right for you must be what is right for both. I must go back to my people and you should go on with your studies.
You can't do this.
We must. It will be hard at first, but if we could go fight on the frontier, then surely we're strong enough to do this.
You said you love me.
I do, David, and I'll always be
you
glad.
Don't. If you can do this, then you couldn't have meant any of the things you said. I don't want to see you anymore.
David! David, wait! David! Come back!
He did not come to that rehearsal, or the next. And then he came. Little was said, but he was no longer angry. When he acted his part, the citizen, turning to his duty, it was with new understanding and maturity. They would go separate ways, but each would remember the other and be better for it. Two people from opposite worlds had met in a human experience, and because there was mutual decency and respect, they had grown. I thought back to when they had first come to us at Kfar Batya as children. Now we could begin to see the shadows of the emerging man and woman. The ceremony was still weeks away, but they had graduated.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. I.D. Blumenthal of Charlotte, North Carolina, honorary life president of Temple Israel in Charlotte and a prominent civic leader. Mr. Blumenthal.
It is an honor to appear on the Eternal Light radio program, which is dedicated to the fundamental truth that men are united in the fatherhood of God. It has for the past 12 years left a deep spiritual impression on all its listeners. The theme of the script we have just heard is found in the words of the prophet Isaiah and was never more meaningful than today. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring you children from the east and I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up your captives, and to the south, keep them not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Isaiah dreamed of a golden age in the days to come, which was all the more remarkable because his age was one of vast chaos. Yet for Isaiah, beyond the chaos and darkness, the light of God's Spirit shone, and it promised the coming of a better and happier world. Isaiah's dream and God's promise have been fulfilled. The Lord has returned his people to their land. He has gathered them from the four corners of the earth and returned them on wings of eagles. Today Israel is a beacon of light and a ray of hope for the oppressed multitudes still in hostile lands. In our story, the teacher is teaching his pupils how to live, and what they do in real life depends on the spiritual and moral values they have learned, on their sense of responsibility, and their willingness to accept life's duties as well as its privileges. While our story today is primarily concerned with the growth and maturing of our two young people, the parents also faced up to a reality of life. They looked at themselves, at their own prejudices, and recognized them. But perhaps the deepest significance of this story lies in Dina's and David's acceptance of each other as individuals on the basis of worth, without concern for color or national origin. We see a meaningful respect for the dignity of each individual. Dina and David live in an experience we all should heed. It is a lesson that can be taken to heart by men of all faiths and in all stations of life throughout the entire world. God grant that once again as of yore, Kimi Tzion Tetzei Toro, Udavarad Noemi Rishulayim. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Just as the first vision of Isaiah has been fulfilled, so will the latter be realized. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children.
Thank you, Mr. Blumenthal. Eternal Light drama today, Graduation, was written by Jesse Sandler and is based on the article Children from Ethiopia by Malka Ramist, which appeared in the Jewish Horizon, published by Hapoel HaMizrahi of America. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were David Opatashu, Larry Robinson, Ruby Dee, Ann Seymour, Roger DeCoven, Michael Mann, Peter Laser, and Lynn Loring. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and was directed by Daniel Sutter. This is the NBC Radio Network.